You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
What's up, Gen Z? I'm here today to help you grow and mature in your faith. And I've got a question for you today. And the question is, what are you most tempted to boast about? I mean, out of all the things in your life, what would you be most tempted to boast about more in than anything else? How about how fast you can run? I mean, do you run the 100 under 10 seconds? I doubt it, unless you're an Olympian, right? How much can you lift? Are you bench pressing 500 pounds? That would be a rare breed as well. How about your grades? We could be tempted to boast about our grades or our cars, how fast they go, or what kind of gas mileage you get, or your job. Are you making minimum wage? Are you learning how to do some type of trade school or a college type job where you get paid more than that? Well, people just love to boast, right? I mean, I live right here in Los Angeles, and a lot of people like to boast about the Dodgers. I mean, it's been one of the most successful and storied franchises in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers have won 8 World Series championships and a record 25 National League pennants. The Los Angeles Lakers have done even better than that. They've won 17 NBA championships, which is tied for the most in NBA history. And the Lakers won their first championship in 1949 and their most recent in that beloved year of COVID in year 2020. Now, the Rams, I live in Los Angeles, right? I'm talking about pro sports right here in LA that people boast about the Dodgers, people boast about the Lakers. Well, I got news for you. People don't boast about the Rams. For some reason, the Rams have fallen into a distant third here. They've only won 2 NFL championships, 1945 and 1951, and 2 Super Bowls, year 2000 and year 2022. Now, I like the Rams, but there's a lot of sports fans who don't boast for them as much as they might boast for the 49ers or even for the Oakland and now the Las Vegas Raiders. But what I'm trying to just say to you guys today is that sports fans aren't the only ones who like boasting, right? All people enjoy boasting at some level, either in themselves or someone else close to them. Some like to boast about their profession. Did you hear about that there was a doctor, an engineer, and a politician who were boasting as to which profession was older? Well, argued the doctor, without a physician, mankind would not have survived. So I am sure that mine is the oldest profession. No, said the engineer. Before life began, there was complete chaos, and it took an engineer to create some semblance of order from the chaos. So engineering is older. But, chirped in the triumphant politician, who created the chaos? There you go, some politician boasting in himself, because we all know politicians know how to stir up chaos, right? Just a silly joke there, but it's just a reminder, everybody likes to boast. And yet, when we look at the Bible, listen to what Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 says. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." Man, that's a strong verse, right? We're not to be boasting in our wisdom or in our might or our riches, but we're to be boasting in the Lord. So let me ask you today, Gen Z, what do you find yourself boasting in? I love 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I mean, what dominates your attention and your affection is what you will boast in. What means more to you than anything else is what you will read about, and it's what you'll talk about, and then it will end up being what you boast about. And where you spend your free time reveals where your heart is. Did you get that, Gen Z? Where are you spending your time? Because where you spend your time is where your heart is, and where your heart is where your mind is, and where your mind is where your mouth is, and where your mouth is where the boasts come from, right? That's what you're going to be talking about. It's what you've got your heart set upon. And so today, I want to remind you young men out there that there's really only one thing worth boasting in. And I think you know what that one thing is. That one thing is a one person. I'm talking about boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, in the cross on which he died, and in the glorious resurrection that gives strength for today and gives us hope for tomorrow. I mean, the truth is, when it comes to boasting in religion, there are really only two religions in the world. There is the religion of works and the religion of grace. So the religion of works is really a religion about boasting in what you think you can do to earn your salvation. But the religion of grace is saying there's nothing I can do. It's really boasting in what God has done. And so there is just really two religions, the religion of man-made religion and the religion of true Christianity, which is a totally God-made religion. So today, and in our next show, we're going to do a two-part series. So I'm just talking about this simple reminder of we can really only boasting in the cross. We should really only be boasting in the cross. And so let me start off today's show by saying there's two things, just like there's two religions, man's religion and God's religion. There's really only two things that you can boast in. And we're going to be looking at this from Galatians chapter 6, verses 12, all the way through the end of the chapter. So let me just start off talking about the first thing that you can boast in. And we'll take our whole show today and just talk about the first thing that you can boast in. And that would be you could boast in the flesh. You could boast in the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13 says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." So we're talking about you could boast in the flesh, and we're talking here in context about the Galatians. Let me bring you up to speed a little bit about the point that's being made in the book of Galatians. What's the purpose of this book? Well, in Paul's first missionary journey with Barnabas, Paul had evangelized many Gentile believers that were unbelievers that, you know, became believers during his evangelization. And this was happening in Asia Minor, again, a largely Greek and Gentile population. And along the way, he establishes several churches there. And not long after these new Gentile churches have been established in the area of Galatia, there were some Judaizers that infiltrated the churches and began to teach outright heresy. Now, a Judaizer is one who claimed to be a Jewish Christian, but they insisted that all Christians, including Gentiles, should continue to follow the Old Testament Jewish law and custom. And the problem was is that some of them went overboard and even claimed that if a Gentile was not circumcised, then they were not even a true Christian. And so these Judaizers or Jewish legalists were influencing the newer Gentile believers in Galatia to trade their freedom in Christ for bondage back to the Old Testament law. And so Paul writes this letter, the book of Galatians, to refute their false gospel of works and to demonstrate the superiority of being justified by faith alone. In fact, this six-chaptered book could be simply outlined as the Gospel of Grace Defended, chapters 1 and 2, or you could say the next part of it would be the Gospel of Grace Explained, chapters 3 and 4, and then the book ends in chapters 5 and 6 with the Gospel of Grace Applied. So you have the Gospel of Grace Defended, chapters 1 and 2, the Gospel of Grace Explained, chapters 3 and 4, and then the Gospel of Grace Applied, chapters 5 and 6. Let me take one reference from each one of these sections of the book to help us really understand our context that we're going to be looking at of Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. So that first part of the book, the Gospel of Grace Defended, that could be kind of explained by Galatians 2:20 and 21. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So again, this would be the gospel of grace defended. He's like, look, it's all about Christ being crucified. And if Christ was crucified, then we're saved by faith in his act. And so we're not going to nullify the grace of God by trying to somehow earn grace by being righteous. If we did that, then Christ really died for no purpose. The second part of the book would be the gospel of grace explained, verses 3 and 4, or I should say chapters 3 and 4. And so listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. It says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So this part of the book is just simply explaining that the gospel is being explained that we don't need the law to save us. We don't need circumcision to save us. And then that leads us to the last part of the book, which is really about the gospel of grace applied. And in chapter 5 and 6, it talks about like Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then in that freedom and don't submit to again with a yoke of slavery. And so this is what the book of Galatians is all about. It's about the gospel of grace defended, explained, and applied. Now don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to look at the only thing worth boasting in.
We'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. Oh, boy, Gen Z, he's hitting you hard today, isn't he? Talking about boasting. Yeah, he's not just talking to Gen Z with that. What he's talking to me, too. Look, what we choose to boast about reveals a lot about where our hearts really are. You know, it didn't matter what it is, sports, strength, success. Those things aren't really bad in and of themselves, but Dr. Tyson nailed it. They're just not ultimately worth boasting in. Our boast should be in Christ and Christ alone. And if he's grabbing your attention today, you're going to love Dr. John MacArthur's The Gospel According to Jesus. Ah, that is a book that clarifies exactly what the true gospel is all about. And hey, it's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. That's what Dr. MacArthur tackles head on, the misconceptions that can trip us up, reminding us that boasting in Christ means to fully embrace his lordship and his grace in every part of our lives. It's a must read. The Gospel According to Jesus, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of clarity and speaking of excellence, just like the Gospel According to Jesus, if you're thinking about where to head next after high school, might I recommend the Master's University? They rank very high nationally by a secular institution. That is a really, really big deal, because that particular secular institution had to be highly impressed to put a non-secular institution into their list of top schools in the country. Look, TMU is not just about getting a job. It's about building your entire life around biblical truth. They equip you to impact the world without compromising your faith. Most every other higher education institution in this country does that. TMU does not. See for yourself at masters.edu/manhood. Hey, also, if you're not tapping into the Fortis Plus app, oh man, are you missing out? It is completely free, first of all, not going to cost you anything. And we update it every single day with audio and video content, new podcast episodes, hot takes from our fellows, daily news that's filtered through a biblical worldview. Look, you can find a lot on Fortis Plus for free. You can check it out right now at fortisplus.org or download the app wherever you download apps from. Just search for Fortis Plus. Let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues down that path about boasting in what truly matters. This is the Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back, Gen Z. We are doing a two-part series on boasting in the cross. Truth be known, there's really only two things you can boast in. You can either boast in yourself or you can boast in Jesus. And so the first part of this two-part series is all talking about boasting in ourselves. And there were some new believers that were boasting about themselves in the book of Galatians. And these new believers were being influenced by the Judaizers. Now, Judaizers were coming in to this new church plant area of Galatians, of Galatia. And so they were trying to basically influence the new Gentile believers to start practicing Old Testament customs. And so Paul writes to them, writes to the Galatians, and he says in verse 11, he says, "See what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." In other words, Paul's saying, this is important for me to write this letter with my own hand, because he's really challenging them to remind them, listen, you can't be boasting in the flesh. You can't be doing that. And Gen Z, the same is true for you today. As a man, you cannot be boasting in yourself for any reason, especially when it comes to the fact that you're a good Christian, right? And so what was happening here is that these Judaizers were giving some reasons, Paul's attacking their reasons in verses 12 and 13 of how they were motivated to somehow boast in the flesh. And so let me give you three reasons of what really motivated these Judaizers. Remember, Judaizers are Old Testament focused believers who focus so much on the Old Testament and the customs that they had really ripped out the concept of the gospel of grace. So here's three things that motivated these Judaizers. Number one, they were motivated by their own pride. They were motivated by their own pride. That's why Galatians 6:12, the first part of the verse says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised." So again, we see what's really motivating them is they want to make a good showing. They want to make a big difference outwardly by priding themselves on what they thought was a good show. And because of their good showing, they were forcing these new Gentiles to think that they got to be circumcised in the flesh. I mean, these Judaizers, they're committed to looking good. This was motivated by their flesh, their pride in their own culture and in their own traditions. I mean, the Greek word here for good showing is a compound word which could be literally translated as good face. These Judaizers wanted to put on a good face in front of others. Their motive was not to honor God. They want to honor themselves. And in regard to demonstrations of religious pride, I mean, Jesus had given repeated warnings in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and about not putting on a good showing, right? I mean, concerning religious life in general, he said in Matthew 6, 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order that you may be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." I mean, Jesus warned them about giving in Matthew 6, 2. He says, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." So Jesus, again, he's practicing people, don't practice your righteousness. He's challenging them, don't practice your giving in front of others for boasting purposes concerning prayer. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." Jesus also confronts them for fasting. He says in Matthew 6, 16, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." Are you kind of getting the idea here of what Paul's writing about in Galatians 6, 12? He's saying that these Judaizers are trying to make a good showing in the flesh, just like these Jews that Jesus was confronting in the Sermon on the Mount. They just wanted to make a good showing. That's what motivated them. They were more interested in the praises of men than the privilege of serving Almighty God. So let me ask you, Gen Z, what motivates you? Are you tempted to fall into the same desire for a good showing outwardly, to be recognized by others as being spiritually mature? Are you trying to impress your parents? Are you trying to impress your youth pastor? Are you trying to impress those girls in the youth group or in college? Are you trying to impress all the same stuff, your college minister or the other ladies in the college ministry? I mean, really? Are you trying to impress them? Or are you living out your faith because you love God? And so don't become like a Judaizer who is really motivated by putting on a good show. Let me tell you a different motivation that also the Judaizers were guilty of is that they were actually motivated by fear. They were motivated by fear. The second part of verse 12 says, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross. So the reason they were trying to act all religious was in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And so we tend to think of all persecution of the first century came from the Romans, but that's not so. I mean, Jesus was mainly persecuted by the Jews. And so these Gentile believers are now being persecuted by the Judaizers. Excellent commentator Robert Gromacki writes this, quote, if the Judaizers had disavowed the necessity of circumcision, they would have been ostracized by the Jewish synagogues, exploited financially, and probably harmed physically. So in other words, a converted Jew would have been a persecuted Jew. And so they were afraid. They didn't want to be persecuted by other Jews, and so they ended up persecuting Gentiles in order to demonstrate that they're carrying the party line. I mean, they were more afraid of identifying completely and solely with Christ and Christ alone for their salvation that they began to find somehow their comfort in reverting back to their roots. And I'm talking about just strict Judaism here. And they were trying to get credit with the Jewish faithful for keeping the law of Moses, which was seen as part of their justification. And if we're not careful, you could fall into the same thing, right? Are you fearful, young man, of suffering for Christ? You know, are you afraid to stand up for Jesus because of the persecution you might receive from the world or from your work or from your family? Well, remember Jesus said in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So again, we're seeing the real motive for these Judaizers. They were motivated out of their own pride. They were motivated out of their own fear. And the third thing that motivated these Judaizers is that they were really motivated out of hypocrisy. They were motivated out of hypocrisy. I mean, look at verse 13. If you are following along in Galatians 6, it says, for even those who were circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So the truth is that those Judaizers who had been circumcised don't really care about keeping all the law, just certain parts of the law that made them look good. And so this would be like a mom or dad who get all over the kids for arguing, but they willfully argue with their spouses all the time. It's kind of hypocritical, right? This would be like the person who sets up certain standards in some areas, but lets themselves run wild in other areas. Like the young man who would say, well, I would never embezzle money, but they're caught cheating on their taxes. Or like the young man who would say, I would never lie, but they compromise the truth when they need to get out of a tough situation. Or like the young man who would say, I would never commit adultery, but his thought life is rated R. I mean, that's the same way these Judaizers were. They were bragging about keeping the law, but they were only keeping part of the law. They weren't keeping the whole law. They were certainly sticklers when it came to circumcision. But to go so far as to teach you that you didn't have to be circumcised to be saved, that's not what they were about. In some strange way, they were legalists wanting to lean back to the law, the Mosaic law. And in some ways, legalism actually can be appealing to the flesh because it makes us look better than others. It gives us something to boast in. It causes us to feel like we're partly responsible for our own salvation. I mean, as I've already mentioned, there's really, remember, only two religions in the world, the religion of works and the religion of grace. And every other religion, except for authentic Christianity, is a religion of works, which does the same thing. They all boast in the flesh. Islam teaches that you have to follow the five pillars of the Muslim faith. Buddhists teach that you need to walk on an eightfold path to reach nirvana. Hinduism teaches that you need to do good works to help you in the cycle of reincarnation. Atheism teaches that it doesn't matter what you do. Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses add works to grace as they try to follow this false teaching. Roman Catholics teach in keeping the seven sacraments as a means of grace. And so when I'm cautioning you about Gen Z, please listen up to me. Beware of those, even in the evangelical world, that teach things like you have to speak in tongues to be saved, or you have to be baptized to be saved, or you have to do anything in order to be saved, except repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the only way to be truly saved is by faith in the gospel. So don't boast in yourself. Don't boast in your religion, boast in the cross. Let me pray for you that God would help you do just that. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity of seeing from Galatians 6 the temptation that we all might have at time to revert back to our legalistic roots. Help that young man listening today to not boast in themselves and not to boast in their own effort, but to learn how to boast only in the cross. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.